you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, November 22nd, 2016, 2 days away from Thanksgiving. And to get us grounded for the special holiday, we're broadcasting a few Moody specials. Yesterday we began with The Crossing, A Cabin Boy's Journal, and this feature will conclude today. And then tomorrow and Thursday, you'll hear a special called Remembering Pilgrims, which I know will get you set for Thanksgiving. Now, if you miss a portion of one of these broadcasts, or can't stay with me for today's edition of Mark and Friends, or want to hear it again in its entirety, once broadcast, they will be archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs page. Here's part two of The Crossing, A Cabin Boy's Journal.
The Pilgrim Story, as you've never heard it before. This is The Crossing, A Cabin Boy's Journal, from Moody Radio.
January 12, 1621. Captain Smith sent us out to deliver supplies to the pilgrims. It was heavy work.
Heave! 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 All right, let's take a break.
Well, the captain, I might have chosen a warmer day to do this.
Aye.
Just 50 more yards and we'll be there.
Morning, gentlemen.
Oh, Mr. Bradford, you gave us a start.
Sorry, Edward.
Of course, we are rather focused on our load here.
No, I don't mean to interfere.
Please, we interfere.
Colin here's not as fit as the rest of us.
That's so. Well, you have youth on your side, Patrick.
Yeah, but you didn't venture out into this wicked wind for mere conversation, Bradford.
True. I came to tell you our men can hoist those provisions from here. We've had another outbreak of some kind. Fever is spreading like wildfire.
I see.
Captain Smith would want you to keep your distance.
That he would.
Well, I for one am more than happy to let someone else take up my rope. You, Patrick?
Well, I'm sure. I mean, unless... You need my help, Mr. Bradford.
I'm afraid that's not your decision, cabin boy.
Edward is right. But your kindness is much appreciated, Patrick. All of you, thanks for moving these supplies off the ship and up the bank.
Why, just following orders, mate.
January 29, 1621. The winter wind seems never to weary itself in this desolate country. This afternoon, Captain Jones asked me to leave the ship and get him a report on the pilgrims. And as I walked toward the colony, icicles formed under my nose. And somehow, Elder Brewster saw me from a distance and quickly ushered me inside the shack they had built. What's wrong, Mr. Brewster?
Well, lost another one, Patrick. Just this morning, Mrs. Sarah Eaton, a young mother...
I'm sorry.
Oh, no doubt, lad. Oh, she leaves a husband and three children.
That's terrible.
Oh, it's worse than that. Her husband, Francis, is too ill to bury his wife. He won't be at the gravesite tonight.
You bury at night?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Indians. Well, so far they've been friendly, but we're not interested in their knowing how thin our ranks are growing. Nighttime is the only safe time. Even then, we bury quickly and quietly.
With such grief.
Mm-hmm.
How do you cope?
Well, it isn't easy, Patrick. Not on a human level. But we have a confidence that keeps our ship from sinking.
Confidence in what?
Confidence in Christ Jesus, who said, "He is the resurrection and the life." Someday we will see Sarah again. All those who die believing in Christ will rise to eternal life. So, life now can become sad indeed, but it's nothing compared to the joy set before us.
You really believe this, don't you, Mr. Brewster? 25th, 1621. In a strange sense, those living on the Mayflower have made peace with the wild winter that describes this wilderness. But I worry about the pilgrims ashore. Arriving so late in autumn, they were only able to construct a few crude buildings, and these not the least resistant to the wind gusts that blast in from the harbor. I could only imagine how the Separatists were faring, and I found myself lost in deep thought as I huddled with the others in the captain's cabin.
Well, can't last forever.
Aye.
Sooner or later, spring will have to arrive.
Later rather than sooner, my friend.
Another log on the burner, Captain.
Please, for all our sakes.
So far, the crew's done well. Minimal sickness.
How long before our luck runs out?
Aye, like the pilgrims. Haven't fared well at all, have they? What's the latest count?
29 dead.
29?
3 more may be gone before week's end. Isn't that right, Patrick? Patrick, you're not yourself.
I guess I'm just trying to make sense of it all.
Death is a hard thing. You've seen it in the face of your own father. You've smelled its scent in the pilgrim camp. And still, it tries to lock eyes with you.
And it will.
Death is an unfair master, taking what and whom it will without notice or permission.
And it never gives back what it takes, never fills the holes it makes.
So I say enjoy the moment, men. When life is gone, it's gone. That's it.
Yes.
No!
What?
I wish there was no such thing as death.
But that's the point of it. Death just is. When death comes, that's all there is.
Oh, but don't you ever wonder if there's something beyond the grave? I mean, the pilgrims speak of heaven.
Heaven. And lots of other rubbish not fit for even we ones to believe.
Patrick, religion is fine in its place. But when it seeks to bring comfort with the invention of fanciful things like heaven, it's time to step out and step back.
February 19, 1621. I don't remember a whole lot about today, other than Colin's voice trying to wake me from a stupor that had nothing to do with alcohol.
Patrick, wake up. It's your turn to chop wood. Captain Jones orders. Oh, come on, Patrick. I know it's warm under those blankets, but you got to get up now. You don't want the captain to find you like this, do you? Oh, no. Oh, it can't be. You're...
Edward!
Aye!
Get the surgeon! It's Patrick! He's got the fever! Again!
Right away!
Sick again, is he?
Doctor, how is it a man gets so sick this easily?
If he's spending time with those Separatists, he's likely to catch more than their religion.
It's a miracle the surgeon is still alive. He's been exposed to so much illness.
And death. Spring is not quite here, and nearly 40 pilgrims have died.
40?
Buried. Up there on Coles Hill. And your cabin boy is working hard to be the next.
February 23, 1621. Familiar voices, but an unfamiliar place. I struggled to wake up, to see around me. Then I realized my eyes were open, but simply could not focus. Only when I felt a cool rag on my forehead did I realize how hot the rest of my body felt.
How is he, Mary?
Not good. He survived the first wave. But the fact that he's come down sick again is not a good sign.
Oh, he's got to survive, Mary. He just has to.
William, we've done all we can. We've sheltered him, bathed him in water and in prayer. Mm-hmm. You and Mr. Bradford have repeatedly urged Patrick, almost begged him to receive Christ.
Yes, and still his soul hangs in the balance. A mere thread suspends him above the very flames of hell. Oh, and he lies there unaware.
Unaware? but not unloved.
Mm-hmm.
He is not willing that any should perish,
but that all should come to repentance.
March 5th, 1621. It's been 2 weeks since I came down again with the fever, and once again, the Brewsters have taken me in. My recovery this time seems to have come easier and faster, and with a welcome wave of spring-like weather, the Brewsters urge me to get my strength back by taking walks in the fresh air.
Feeling a bit stronger, are we?
Mr. Bradford, what takes you for a walk along the shore?
I've suffered enough bad weather. Time to enjoy the good. And you, Patrick, are you on some kind of errand back to the ship?
No, sir. But I expect to be soon. And Captain says I'm almost strong enough to be of use.
Excellent. Patrick, I wonder if you've given this last sickness of yours any thought.
Indeed I have. I thought it was awful. I thought it was unfair to come down a second time. I thought I'll be glad to be back in my cabin berth.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you ask, Mr. Bradford?
Just wondering.
Wondering what?
Patrick, I once asked you if you felt it was simple coincidence that brought us together on this ship. Was it mere chance you have felt the touch of Christ on your soul as you've lived among us? You have just survived a sickness that should easily have killed you. Your life is spared.
It's true.
Not once, but twice.
I'm grateful.
Oh, grateful is nice, but grateful isn't enough.
What do you mean?
The Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. You, Patrick, are lost, and you need to be saved.
Saved? Saved from what?
Your sins. Your selfishness, the sickness that affects the entire human race. Eternal death is your certain destiny apart from the salvation of Christ. Patrick, what a waste it would be to survive your fever, only to be lost forever to your sins.
But I'm no pilgrim. Father scarcely mentioned the name of God. And besides that, why would God even want me? Even at my age, I've done things no man should have done.
Jesus said, I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Oh. Then repentance is what I need.
Aye. It's what we all need. And Jesus is where you'll find it.
When we return, the final pages of The Crossing, A Cabin Boy's Journal.
You're listening to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends with a special Moody broadcast titled The Crossing, A Cabin Boy's Journal. Let's return to the adventure.
March 31st, 1621. I am a new creature. Yesterday, I prayed to God that He would save my soul, that He would help me repent. I feel a sense of lightness, peace, even laughter, for reasons I cannot describe. This is all so, so new and wonderful. For 3 days now, Colin has felt weak and lightheaded. He has said nothing to the captain.
Colin, give me a hand with this spar.
Fore or aft the boom.
What are you, blind?
Sorry.
Just what? Daydreaming? We can't afford that. Too much to be done to get the Mayflower ready to sail again.
I don't feel so well.
Now, you don't look so well either.
Well, Captain expects this job to be done by noon. Now, let's have at it. Patrick, see that yard is fully fastened.
Will do.
Now, Colin, let's swing her around to starboard and... Oh. Colin! Patrick, get help! Colin just collapsed!
Aye, sir!
April 3rd, 1621. The ship's surgeon declared there was little he could do for Colin. To quarantine him would be the safest decision for all. though the crew, my crew, had little appetite for the Separatists' religion, they drank freely of their kindness. And as for Colin, he found himself in the loving care of Edward Winslow and his wife. And I went to visit him today.
I'm afraid you're still looking a bit pale, Colin.
Patrick, what are you doing here?
Well, I couldn't not be here, Colin. You're the man who steered the ship, remember?
Stay here any longer and you'll end up on Cole's Hill with the rest of those dead Separatists.
I'd say you look more alive than dead. Even the Winslows say you look better.
Then why do I feel more dead than alive? You should go. Really.
Colin, did you ever consider that, that there's more to fear in this world than just death?
What do you mean? Once you die, you're dead, that's it.
Well, then there's eternity.
Heaven, hell, or whatever. I'll take what comes my way and deal with it then. Same way I'm living now.
But would you really want to spend an eternity in the flames of hell?
Did you come here to encourage me or to frighten me? Right now you're not doing either. But I'd prefer you'd quit trying whatever it is you're after.
Sorry, Colin. I guess I've been doing a lot of thinking lately.
Dangerous for a cabin boy. Thinking is what they pay people like the captain and Edward to do. Now, if you don't mind, I'm pretty tired.
Sure, Colin. You need your rest. I hope you get better soon.
April 12, 1621. Colin is back to full health, and Captain Jones is intense as preparations are made for the return voyage of the Mayflower. He summoned us together into his cabin early after breakfast.
It's done, then. Leave at dawn 3 days hence. Between now and then, there's a lot to do. Edward, the rigging and sails are all inspected.
Have been for weeks. Ready to sail, Captain.
And our food stores, Colin.
Full complement of salt pork and hardtack. Wine stores are full, and we'll take on fresh water the afternoon before we leave.
Cabin boy, bill of lading on goods bound for England.
All goods accounted for, sir. Loaded and secured.
Issues? Problems? I don't like surprises.
One issue, sir.
What is it, Patrick?
It's hard to say.
Then swallow once and speak up. Time is wasting.
I'm not going back.
Oh, what?
What do you mean you're not going back?
What I mean is, with your permission, sir, I'd like to remain here.
Stay here in this God-forsaken wilderness?
Oh, it may be a wilderness, but God hasn't forsaken it. On the contrary, I think he's blessed it.
I knew it. I knew it all along. Too much time with those Separatists. Now he is one.
Don't be too hard on him, Edward. He's a young'un with a right to be foolish.
But a young one with conviction. Something neither of you have ever had. It looks like Patrick here has crossed over in more ways than one. Well, if you're sure of it...
I'm certain.
Then I guess we'll need to settle your wages. Edward.
Sir!
See that Patrick is paid in full for the entire journey.
What?
The entire trip? But he's only worked the first half.
I said full pay, and that's an order.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Captain. I don't know what to say.
Then say nothing. Just pray one of those pilgrim prayers for our safe return.
April 15, 1621. Today, the Mayflower raised anchor and headed home for England. I watched as she pulled away, watched until she was nothing more than a silhouetted dot against the sun. Whatever sadness I now feel is overpowered by the joy I sense in trying to please God. With all my heart, I believe he would have me to learn from these pilgrims and serve him fully, this God of the Holy Bible. Returning home to the Brewsters, who have invited me to live with them, I was met with a strange surprise.
Well, there he is, Patrick.
Patrick, there's a letter for you on your bed.
For me?
Mm-hmm.
From whom?
You'll have to see for yourself.
It's from Colin Brogan.
Really?
Dear Patrick, when we first landed at Plymouth, I couldn't wait for the day we would hoist anchor and sail home.
Now? I'm not so sure. We were mates, you and me. Now we're apart. It's hard for me to confess it, but there's something about the separatists. Somehow they seem to really know God. And you seem to have whatever they have. You've crossed over. I'm sorry I teased you about it, but inside, my own heart burns with questions. I will think often of what you said, that there's more to fear in this world than just death. I'm not sure how, but I intend to find God the way you have. And when I do, you'll hear from me again, Patrick Blythe. For me, this half of the journey must now become the crossing.
That concludes our Moody programming special titled The Crossing, A Cabin Boy's Journal. If you missed a portion of today or yesterday's broadcast, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org under our archived programs link. I hope you were blessed by the story as told through Patrick's experience as a 14-year-old orphan as he became a cabin boy on the Mayflower. Certainly a creative way by the Moody Broadcasting Network to get us grounded for this coming Thanksgiving Day. Tomorrow on Thursday, it'll be another Moody special during Mark and Friends, as we'll feature Remembering Pilgrims. So be sure to tune in at the same time for the Wednesday and Thursday edition of Mark and Friends. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day, night, and happy Thanksgiving.